Hello and welcome to the 99 Yard Podcast. We're flying through the season. We're already through week five and it's time to talk football again. I'll be your host today, Brian, and joining us is some of my fellow 99 Yards and Draft Talk Podcast members. That's MJ and Stu. How are you two guys?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Brian. It's been a great weekend with the NFL London games. Quite a long weekend and news coming out every day, isn't there?
Yeah, good to be talking football with you guys again. And yeah, it's been a bit of a crazy weekend, I think. There's lots to kind of get through. And whether we cover all that, I don't know. We could be here all night if we decided to do that. But yeah, good to be speaking to you both again about it.
There we go. And we've also got a special guest this week, friend of the pod, Jordan. How are you doing?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Brian. Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's been an interesting week, let's put it that way. But yeah, looking forward to talking football.
Good stuff. Yes, there's been plenty of news, plenty of football. We actually might not actually talk about any actual football today, but we'll try and get some of it. We'll try and sneak some in. So where to start? I guess we'll start here in the UK. Sunday saw the first of two international series games. The Jets took on the Falcons in a pretty impressive game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. MJ, yourself and I were lucky enough to be there. Did you enjoy the game? How was your day?
Absolutely, Brian. I thought it was just great, wasn't it? After missing out last year, to have the NFL London games back, 65,000 in the stadium at Tottenham. It's a wonderful stadium, obviously purpose-built for NFL games. Great atmosphere again in the stadium. I just thought the game... the Falcons came to play first half. I thought the Jets were very slow out of the blocks. The Falcons clearly had a game plan. But I thought the standard of the game didn't detract from the overall atmosphere. I thought, the national anthems with the fly past, if you've seen that, that was an amazing moment. And I thought that that London really, really put on a show. And we demonstrated that, you know, NFL is really big here in the UK.
Absolutely, I enjoyed it. Second time I've been down to Spurs, thought it was great. A little disappointed with the service, but I mean that's just me wanting to drink too much, I think. But you're right, the game was good despite being against two fantastic teams. But I thought they made a good game of it, and yeah, I really enjoyed it.
And it would have been you were there with Owen as well, a Falcons fan. Fellow Draft Talk podcaster, so he was only a couple of rows back from you. Was he jumping up and down at the end? Because the Falcons sort of it got a bit close there at the end. The Jets came back a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah, well, for some strange reason, there was one seat next to us free, so he ended up actually coming down and sitting with us. But yeah, he had a good time. I think he like everyone was really impressed with Kyle Pitts. It was a bit of a breakout game for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he enjoyed it. But I was sort of saying the whole way through the second half, I was like, "Oh, you're not up for it. You're winning. You're watching your team live." And he was just expecting, "Well, we're the Falcons. We're going to blow this any minute now." And I was like, "Yeah, you actually might do." But he was like, "Well, you know what? At least I'll have seen another classic Falcons big late game loss." Like, well, every cloud. That's a nice way of looking at it.
Yeah. No, I was really impressed with Kyle Pitts. I thought, like you say, breakout game. And it was clear that they built the whole plan around him and Cordarrelle Patterson, because it was basically him, Cordarrelle Patterson, bit of Mike Davis, and that was more than enough on the day. And it was another one of those games where they, I think they did a lot of zone coverage and they sort of scrambled Zach Wilson a bit, and took away that deep ball, and he was hanging on and hanging on and hanging on to that ball, and couldn't really get the Jets moving until the second half.
Yeah, it looked like it was a great atmosphere. I was ever so slightly jealous that you guys, my Draft Talk buddies, were there and sending me pictures of all three of you together having a nice time. And I was sitting at home watching it on TV, feeling a bit depressed. But it's great to have the games back in London again. And we've obviously got more stuff coming out about the international series expanding. And it's just made me want to get back to these games again. It's been a couple of years since I've been myself. I've been to quite a few of the games, but it has been a couple of years I've missed out. I did have a trip to the States in between the last time I've been here, so I've been to a game, but it just makes me want to get back and get involved in all this stuff again. It's great to see it back in London and hopefully expanding as the next few years go on.
Yeah, again, similar. I really enjoyed watching. It was glad in the second half that the Jets were able to put something together and it became a game. And yeah, for a little while, it looked like the Falcons might do the Falcons and mess it up again. But yeah, myself and Brian are going to the game next week. So really looking forward to that. And yeah, the stadium's just so impressive. It just creates such an atmosphere because of how it's designed. So so yeah, fingers crossed we'll keep getting more and more games over here.
Yeah, that's right. We've got the Jags Dolphins coming up. They do send us some good teams, don't they? Oh, I'll tell you what. But I mean, it should be competitive. That's the plus side. That is the plus side. There we go. We'll maybe touch on that later. But the biggest story this week, Raiders head coach John Gruden has resigned following allegations of inappropriate emails. The emails were sent when he was working for ESPN. They included homophobic, racist and misogynistic terms. He leaves Raiders 3.5 years into a 10-year contract. Well, Jordan, it's not the only reason we've got you on, but you are a big Raiders fan. You like to think you're clued up with what's going on. So I guess, what's your take on this, and what do you think the effects will be on the Raiders?
Yeah, no, obviously, thanks for having me on this week in particular. Be sure to invite me back when we win the Super Bowl. but yeah, no, I was obviously been thinking about it quite a lot today and been talking to a few people about it, and overwhelmingly it is just sad. It's really sad. It's a little bit embarrassing as well, I think, for the organization. Don't get me wrong, I think how and why these emails have been leaked and yet the full report hasn't been released about the other team that was actually being investigated. I'm not quite sure how and why that's happened, but irrespective of that, it's not right. What he said isn't right now. It wasn't right 10 years ago when he's written the emails. It wasn't right 20 years ago. And, I've no real links to the organisation or anything like that. Just a fan, you know, in another country and another continent. But it's just embarrassing, and that isn't who we are. It isn't what we're about. You know, even earlier this year, we had the great news and the good news story and the good feedback around Kyle Nassib coming out as the first openly gay athlete on a team whilst he was on that team, which was phenomenal and really well received. And you think back to the Al Davis era and all he did for, you know, inclusivity amongst minority coaches and players, and that was kind of the culture that I grew up to love and to see. This obviously you'll never take away all the good work that Al Davis did when he was building the Raiders, but I feel genuinely does tarnish a bit what he's done and his legacy. And I think moving forward, I think obviously Mike Davis now has got some big decisions to make. It felt like, obviously, take the Chicago performance out of this season, but it felt like we were getting better again and building on what we were doing. I'm not going to say the wheels have come off, but it certainly doesn't help what we were trying to do. And for the next couple of weeks, who knows how we're going to compete and how we're going to get used to it.
When they came out, it was almost inevitable that John Gruden was going to find his position untenable. The comments that he made, it's not what we want to see. It's not an acceptable thing to be saying. Particularly, not that it wasn't at the time, but I think if it had come out maybe nearer the time that it happened, it might have had less of an issue, which is probably a bad thing. I think now we're in a time frame where when these things are just not deemed acceptable in a game that, well, in society, but in a game that everyone loves all over the world, different backgrounds, different people come together for a game that they love. And when you see stuff like that, it does leave a bit stuck in the throat. And yeah, I think that once it came out, Gruden had to go. I don't think there would be anyone who would be happy if he stuck around, given what's been come out. And I think we may well have seen the last of John Gruden at top level football. I think it's going to be very hard for him to get anywhere that's going to take him on and take him seriously after what's come out this last couple of days. Yeah. And I do feel sorry for the Raiders fans, for the people involved. Like Jordan says, you know, it's something that you don't like to see. It taints that organisation a little bit. Although it wasn't said when he was part of the Raiders, it was a long time before he came back. But yeah, just, you know, as you touched on, all the positive stuff that's come out with the Carl Nassib stuff, we've had women involved more in football. You know, it's all been a game where this is happening, and to see these kind of regressive views come to light, it's not nice to see.
No, I think I mean, just to echo what's been said there, there are a lot of feelings here, as you said, Jordan. You know, there's it makes you feel sad. It also makes you feel angry at his comments, disappointed in him as his comments, completely unacceptable. And you're right, his legacy in the game is now completely tarnished. And I think that, as you said, that's probably the last we'll see of him. In the draft talk, you know, we have somebody we put in the bin. Well, he's firmly now in the bin and away. And my hope for the Raiders is that they can detach themselves from this. As you say, it was nothing to do with when he was at the Raiders. It was 10 years ago or so. And the Raiders, I kind of, obviously they had him in on a 10-year contract, and that was part of a grand plan to move away from Oakland, get into this new stadium, get to Vegas and kick on. And you know, got to that point where the last couple of seasons they'd gone roughly 500. I think they were about 8-8 last year, looking to kick on, had started quite well. You do wonder, don't you, whether with the timing of how this came out and how they played in Chicago, how they played against Chicago, you know, were the players aware of what was going on? There must have been things that had come out before the game, whether that had impacted on their performance. I see that they've put the special teams coach, Rich Bisacci, in charge in the interim. So I think as an organisation, they've got a couple of weeks, haven't they? They've got the Broncos next week. Then they've got the Eagles. Then they're on a bye. So they've got a couple of games before they get on a bye, perhaps get themselves some time to start wondering how they're going to move forward. But I really hope that that this can be detached. You know, there is Gruden and there is the Raiders. They are now completely separate, and I hope the Raiders can move on from this.
Like you say, it's kind of shocking this day and age, but obviously, I guess you naively assume sometimes that people in certain positions don't think certain things. They think a certain way, and then you hear things like this, and maybe it just reminds you that maybe not. Maybe there's a lot behind the curtain that you don't see. And it is a shame. Like you say, I think it's a shame for football in terms of the steps forward it's taken. Stu, you mentioned there the amount of women that were slowly getting into the game and into the media. You know, I think they're very, very, very slowly making progress in terms of minority coaches. But you can see that there's an effort there. And for a big name coach such as John Gruden to come out and with stuff like this, it does. It doesn't take you a step back, but it certainly doesn't help. And as you said, Jordan, that the Raiders have got a really good history of, you know, I guess pushing the game forward. The first modern era black coach in Art Shell, the first female executive in Amy Trask, and then Tom Flores, who just got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the first I think Latino quarterback and then coach. So the Raiders themselves have been, over their lifetime, have been, you know, one of the better, if not the best, franchises in football in terms of, you know, just pushing the game forward in that respect. So it's a shame, but like you say, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Gruden's out the door. special team coaches in for the meantime. I saw something today. They're maybe not going to rush and get someone in. Maybe leave it, and maybe that's wise, because as we say, Gruden's, you know, he was 3.5 years into his 10-year contract, and his fingers are all over the organization. He's, you know, he brought in his own GM pretty much. They've made, as we've talked about on the Draft Talk podcast, they've made plenty of odd draft choices that I don't think anyone else would make. And obviously, all these staff will be there, so it certainly won't be an easy transition. But yeah, we'll see. You guys got any thoughts on what they should do or might do?
But before we kind of come on to that, I just think the one positive thing that's come out of it, if you could say anything positive has come out, has been the universal condemnation of what's been said. People have pulled around and went, do you know what? That's just not acceptable to talk in these terms and have these views and behave in that way. And I think that does show that kind of thing won't be tolerated moving forward. And I think that's an important thing to, there's very few, you see on Twitter, there's always the bampots, as we would call them up here, the idiots, where everyone who are sticking up for Gruden. But it's few and far between, all the sensible people involved in NFL hierarchy, fans like us, people on Twitter, all the sensible people are just condemning it. And I think that does show a positive change in attitudes that there might have been some years ago.
Yeah, and I agree. And I guess, you know, for the here and now, as we've said, you know, Rich Bisaccia will take over. And fortunately for the Raiders here and now, they did already have three very well experienced, very well thought of coordinators in-house. So Gus Bradley, who they came across this year on the defensive side of the ball, and Greg Olsen on offense has been in the game for absolutely years. So as Brian's alluded to there, I genuinely don't think they will, although I've been wrong before, I don't think they'll rush into anything for now. And I certainly know a few Raider fans that were already calling for Greg Olsen to take over play calling from John Gruden, who's always been incredibly conservative in certain red zones and certain short yardage and has been running the same set of plays for years. So I don't think it helps us for now, and there will still be a lot of his staff there. I mean, I've read today that his son's going to remain on as strength and conditioning coach, and a lot of the staff will be Gruden's guys, certainly for now. But again, hopefully there's a strong enough culture and we can bounce back, as we've mentioned, in terms of schedule, the Broncos and the Eagles coming up now. It's not as strong opposition as has been in previous weeks. So if we can get through this and get to the bye week and then take stock again and see where we go, you never know.
Yeah, I was just going to say two quick things. That one is, I think it's always useful to be ahead in the next coaching round. So everybody knows there is a job up for grabs at the Raiders. So as we get towards the end of the season and you get towards the end of the college season, that next round of head coaches, you know, the job is there and you can probably get in ahead, because that's quite useful. And I think also the role of Mike Mayock now, you know, he's there as GM. Do they go down the route that he gets now a big say in picking his head coach, so he can have somebody who's in lockstep with him? Because as we've said, the whole player recruitment thing through the draft has been odd at times in the last 2 or 3 years. But it'll be really interesting to see who they get. But yeah, I think they will take their time over this.
Yep, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. They will eventually move on. And talking of moving on, let's move on ourselves. Couldn't think of a better way to move away from a serious topic, so we'll stick with that. As we mentioned, we've flown through. We've been through week 5. We're coming up to week 6. We're starting to see the cream rise to the top, as you say. But there's also a couple of teams with good records that maybe don't deserve to be there. So, guys, I'm looking for some contenders and some pretenders. So we'll go to you first, MJ. Who do you think's worth the record, and who do you think's pretty lucky to be there?
Okay, so I'll shock you here, Brian, but it's because I had first hand experience of this last weekend. So my contenders are going to be the Dallas Cowboys, your Dallas Cowboys. I think, and this happens, you know, every year before the season starts, the Cowboys get named as, there he goes, putting the hat on. They get named as going to be contenders, and then it hasn't quite happened. But I watched them on Sunday, and fair enough, what happened was all the things you wouldn't want to happen as a Giants fan happened. You know, Saquon goes out, Daniel Jones goes out, Golladay goes out. It's basically second stringers by the second half. But I find them really impressive. Their run game on offense, if you watch their offensive line, the way they pull the guards across, you've got Zeke, you've got Pollard. They create these gaps. I think the offensive coordinator is doing a really, really good job. And then they can go downfield as well. You know, they can go to CD Lamb. They can go to Amari Cooper. Dalton Schultz is becoming a great tight end. He had a wonderful game again on Sunday. Michael Gallup's not even there yet at the moment. He's injured. And then they've sorted it out on defense as well. You know, you've got Trayvon Diggs, who's, you know, catching interceptions for fun. Micah Parsons has slotted in well. And the last three games, you know, they've scored 41 points, 36, 44. And they just look like scoring points, you know, all the time. And I think they're, you know, if you're going to win the Super Bowl, you've got to be scoring 30 points probably pretty regularly. And I think they're going to do that. I think Dak Prescott is, you know, he should be up there for the in terms of talk for MVP by the end of the season. I think he's a real, if you think about, you know, it was a year ago, he got injured. He had to sit out all of last season, but he's come back, and I think he'd be, yeah, he's a contender for MVP this year, I think. So they're my contenders. If I go straight on to pretenders, so I don't see what will be different about the Green Bay Packers this year. I just think they will probably win that division, and they will win it off the back of Rodgers and Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, and they will probably win that division because it's not a particularly strong division. And then I think they'll just get beat. I don't see what's different. He doesn't have any more sort of options on offense. I mean, they should have lost on Sunday to the Bengals. You had all that fiasco with the various kicks, however many kicks it was that got missed in the last 3 minutes. They'd have lost to the 49ers if they hadn't left the 49ers. You know, if they hadn't left the Packers, whatever it was, 45 seconds on the clock or something, the 49ers could have run that right down and wouldn't have given him any time at all. So I think the 4-1 record is lucky, and even if they win the division, I just don't see anything happening that's different to last year.
I've got to say, it's hard to disagree with either of those. He is Aaron Rodgers. He is very good. But yeah, I totally agree. I can see it coming the end of the season, them losing in the playoffs, him throwing his toys out of the pram again, and you never know, yep, he might finally get that trade. But let's go, Jordan. Who got a pretender and a contender for us?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. So, go on. I'll start with the contender first of all. They are from LA, and they are not the Chargers. I genuinely think the Rams are in for a shout here. I think a lot of time for Matthew Stafford and what he was able to do with that Lions team for the past few years. And God, Aaron Donald, yes, Jalen Ramsey as well. But on top of that, I've got a lot of time for Sean McVay. I think he's very likable as a coach. He came across really, really well a few years ago on... Was it Hard Knocks, or was it? I think it was all the end of All or Nothing when he took over, and yeah, I just think they've only lost to the Cardinals, obviously a big divisional rival for them, but I think they've got enough on that defense to turn that around, and even in an incredibly tough division, that they're grinding out results, And yeah, Matthew Stafford is able to get more out of Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods than we've seen in the past. And I think they've got a really, really good shot at it this year. And then in terms of pretenders, very tempted just wind Brian up and go for the Cowboys. I'm going to avoid that, and I'm actually going to go for the Tennessee Titans with all Derrick Henry and Julio Jones whenever he's fit and whenever he can play. I'm just not buying it. I think Mike Vrabel's a good coach, and you can tell the players want to play for him, and even some players that aren't even on his team, you look like they want to play for him. But they've just not been able to put it together. Even games that they've won, they've made more difficult than they need to be this year. I just don't see that defense being able to hold up, and I've not seen enough from them this year to warrant. Again, similarly to the Packers, I think they'll win that division, but I think they'll win the division because it's not a particularly good division. And then I can see them getting found out in the what is going to be a really strong AFC playoffs.
Stu, have you got two for us?
Yeah, I thought the guys were going to steal some of mine. MG did, and I thought Jordan was going to. So I'm going to go for the other LA team for my contender. I think the Chargers have looked pretty good through 5 weeks. Looking at the schedule, they started the season a bit slowly, got a scrapey win against Washington. They lost in a game that they could have won against the Cowboys. Brian will probably agree that was a fairly in the balance kind of game. And then moving on, they've then beat the Chiefs in a game that they tried to lose, but ended up with winning that one. They beat the Raiders, who were on a good run at that time. And then they've gone and they've whacked 47 points on the Cleveland Browns, although they didn't play defensively particularly well. I think that they've got they're a young team. They've got a young head coach. They've got a young quarterback. Some of the pieces on the defensive side of the ball we've talked about, and Daft talked about Asante Samuel Jr. Darwin James is fit again. He's one of the best defensive players, I think, in the league, regardless of position. They've got good weapons. Austin Eckler has been a good running back, good out of the backfield catching the ball. Williams and Keenan Allen, good combination at the receiver positions as well. And I think they have the ability to hang in a shootout, which you sometimes do need to do in some of these big games. If you're not going to play perfectly on defense, they've got the weapons to lay down 30, 40 points on anybody. So they're my contenders. They're a few games ahead of the Chiefs now as well in that division. I know there's still a long way to go, but gives them a good shout of a wild card, if not a division winning position. So they're my contenders. MJ stole my pretenders. I was going to go for the Green Bay Packers as well, so we've kind of gone over that. And as regular listeners like to know, I don't always follow the rules and whatnot, and particularly when we're doing the preseason stuff. So instead of a pretender team, can I go for a pretender individual? Does the host allow that?
I mean, why not? You don't follow any other.
No, I don't. My pretender, and it might be a bit controversial, is Kyle Shanahan.
I thought that deserved an ooh.
A lot of looks. Kyle Shanahan gets away with murder, I think. Everyone loves Kyle Shanahan. His record as a head coach in the regular season is below 500. He's 31 out of 38 in the regular season. 31 wins, 38 losses. A below 500 record is not great. He's had one season when they got to the playoffs and they got to the Super Bowl, and they were a pretty good team that year. But I just think that for a coach who's had so many losing seasons and not doing well, I think that he gets away with it. Even on Saturday, Sunday, we all thought Trey Lance in, total new game plan, against the Cardinals. Cardinals are a good team, granted that. He tried to play Trey Lance like he was a power running back, and he ended up getting whacked, and he ended up getting dinged, and there's a question whether Kyle and whether Trey Lance is going to play next week, and is he a genius play caller? I don't know. He might be, but as a head coach, I'm not convinced that Kyle Shanahan's the best head coach in the world. And there's coaches who've lost their jobs for a lot less, I think, of records and being under 500. And now, what is it? He's about six seasons in with the 49ers. So is Kyle Shanahan a pretender?
That is an interesting one, isn't it? I think the next couple of weeks are probably crucial. Just looking at their schedule. So they've got the Colts next week and then the Bears before they're back to the Cardinals by the looks of it. So they do need a couple of wins. And I think you're right that they need to adapt that game plan for Trey Lance a little bit, like I think you can see what the Bears are doing with Justin Fields now. He's had a couple of starts and there's starting to be an identity there with Justin Fields and Chicago. And you'd have thought that they need to do that with the 49ers and Trey Lance. I think just swapping back to your contenders for a minute, and both of you picked contenders in LA, and I think that's absolutely spot on. I think both of those teams are led by fantastic quarterbacks. One, a veteran who is finally, you know, getting a chance with a really good team around him in Matthew Stafford. I have admired Matthew Stafford as a quarterback for many years, and he's one of those that, yeah, I'd have been quite happy to see him coming over to the Giants at some point in his career, but that was never really going to happen. And Justin Herbert, I think Justin Herbert might be the best quarterback to watch at the moment. And in some ways, I want the Chargers defense to continue to struggle at times, because I think you get the best out of Justin Herbert when he's back is against the wall and he's either in a shootout like last week, or, you know, they're trying to come back because, you know, they're rolling the dice on fourth down. There was a 4th and 7 at one point in that match against the Browns, and he is just firing these darts, and he's got great receivers, you know, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and it's obvious they missed Austin Ekeler last year. He was injured for much of last year, and he is back, and I think both of those LA teams have got a really, really strong chance of getting to that Super Bowl.
Yeah, can I just say, Stuart, I really enjoyed the fact that you asked if you could not have a team as a pretender and have an individual person, knowing full well that you weren't even going to listen to the answer and you weren't throw him out there. I had a lot of time for that. But no, I agree. There are a lot of coaches that have been sacked for a lot worse records and playing sometimes playing better football than the 49ers are. I feel my Raider bias might shadow my judgment slightly on the LA Chargers, but I can't dispute they were miles better than us when we played them, and to have the record that they've got in when we've got such a tough division, they will be tough to beat, but I am hoping that a lot of teams do, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, that's just what Stu does, and you just have to put up with it. But he's a good egg, really. I had a few, most of which have been taken, but I guess I don't know if this is a surprise, but a contender, I've gone for the Baltimore Ravens. Shouldn't really be a surprise. They've been fantastic. Lost in overtime, obviously game one, as the Raiders opened their stadium, but they've won out since and they've done it impressively. Despite all the injuries, Lamar Jackson's looking as good, if not better, than ever. Slowly quieting all the haters. I don't know if he ever will, but he looks fantastic. They look great. We've still got a few guys to come back from injury, so they're looking fantastic. Shouldn't be a surprise. And then one of the biggest pretenders for me is the Denver Broncos. Started off 3-0 against three of the worst teams in the league. And then I think they've sort of shown the true colours. I think they made a mistake in the offseason not bringing in a better quarterback. They had a chance, be it through the draft or trade or whatever. They brought in Teddy Bridgewater. He's okay. He's a nice guy, but he's not a top-level quarterback. And I sort of think when you you're at the level they are when they seem to have a lot of good pieces on defense and a few weapons on offense. If you can get that quarterback in, that'll really help. Yeah, as I mentioned, since going 3-0 against three of the worst teams in the league, they've been battered by the Ravens and the Steelers, who the Steelers look a bit lost this year as well. So that's my two. And I guess it wouldn't be fair. We've talked about the first London game. And as Jordan mentioned before, we're going down to watch the other one on Sunday. The Jags and the Dolphins should be another close one. The records certainly suggest that, one win between them. Stuart, what do you think? Big Miami fan, do you think they can see off the Jags on Sunday, or it's going to be a close one?
Yeah, I think they can. Whether they will is a bit of a different matter. Miami have struggled mightily over the last few weeks, particularly defensively. They've given up big scores to the Bills and the Buccaneers. They've really found it difficult to stop both the pass and the running games of both of those teams. And the Jaguars haven't had their struggles to find either. So it could be a game of who plays the least worst football. And that can sometimes be quite interesting in itself. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I don't think either of these teams are capable of putting up that much points on each other at this stage. But yeah, I would be hopeful that Miami get the win, but I wouldn't be surprised if they lost either. It'd be an interesting game. It should be a close game. I don't think there's going to be one side's going to run away with it particularly much. But yeah, it should be interesting to see. And again, just building, as we've talked about on these games, coming to London, it'll be a good day out for all those who are there.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Stu. I think it'll be a close one. I'm interested that, so a couple of weeks ago on one of these, we were giving out some advice for the Jags and Trevor Lawrence, and it was, you know, take some of the easier options in passing the ball, and to the Jags generally, get James Robinson running. Since then, James Robinson's had 200-yard games on the ground, and Lawrence's stats are getting a lot better. He's found Dan Arnold a useful safety blanket since he came across at tight end. So I think Lawrence will be better. I think again the Jags have this current distraction with Urban Meyer. And as head coach, he could do with a good performance as well. He could do with leading them to a victory over in London. I think for both teams, this is where coming over to London is a useful distraction. You know, it's something different. It breaks that regular pattern of training and the game up. And hopefully one team can use it to then kick on. I think for Miami, again, it would be good if somebody like Jalen Waddle, a little bit like the Kyle Pitts breakout game from Sunday, if Jalen Waddle managed a similar sort of game, that would be really good for his rookie season as well. I think it'll be close. Sorry, Stuart. I have a funny feeling the Jags might just nick it, but it's definitely a one score game.
I'm just glad I'm not going. The Miami, I've seen Miami a few times at London, and first time saw them play the Raiders, beat the Raiders. Sorry, Jordan. Great, loved it. Yeah, this is what it's going to be like. Next time they played the Jets and lost. And then the next time I watched them, they were playing the Saints with my dad, who's a Saints fan. And they didn't even register a point in the game, and they were quarterbacked by Jay Cutler. So I've probably not got the greatest track record of watching Miami in London. So I'm hopeful that me not being there might lead to them winning.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned at the start, myself and Brian are going down to the game and really looking forward to it, as I do for all the London games. I was reading yesterday that we're hopeful that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be back and in the starting lineup, but whether he plays or not, I agree with MJ and Stuart that I do think it's going to be a one-score game. Really looking forward to seeing Trevor Lawrence. I know he's not set the world alight as of yet, but you can see, I've seen enough from him. I've seen some really nice throws, and then, you know, some underthrows that he's going to want back. But you expect that, regardless of how good rookies are. You expect that sort of growth initially. So excited to see him play in person, in the hope that he can obviously go on to have a really exciting career. But yeah, really looking forward to getting down to the stadium and seeing what should, and I do definitely think will be a tight game, and you know, hopefully we can get some good fourth quarter action as well, and see who comes out on top.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Should be good to see Tua and Trevor Lawrence. At least one of them should be a future star of the league for many years to come. And you never know, Stu, you not being there might get the win for Miami. And if the Jags do it, be sure to watch out for Urban Meyer partying in London Sunday night. You never know what he'll get up to. But we'll leave it at that, eh? That's all we've got time for today. If any of you are going down to the game on Sunday, make sure you enjoy it. And yeah, we'll be back next week. In the meantime, check out our website, www.99yards.com, and Twitter at 99yards for plenty more news, views, previews, etc. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.